Dear Heavenly Gracious God, we praise you and thank you for who you are and what you've done in our lives. As we come before your message, we ask you to allow the Holy Spirit of God to take the word, your word, and make it real unto each one of us as listeners, knowing that you love us, you gave your only son for each one of us. And out of it all, may Jesus Christ be glorified. In his precious name, we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Challenges of Faith radio program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for tuning in. Well, let's go over to the king's mansion, or his palace, or maybe your home, your apartment, your condo, or your mansion. We're in the book of Esther. What happened when the leader, maybe it's you, disrespected his lady, or maybe the lady disrespected her man? But we're in the king's palace in Susa. And when you've done your research as it relates to secular history, then you'll see how it confirms that the king in Esther's day was Xerxes. And you'll find as you're studying him and during that time that he was over an empire. And that empire stretched from India to Ethiopia and all through the Fertile Crescent. I know you've gotten out the map of that day, or have you? Because when you've done your research, secular-wise, then you'll see how it was a time when it was in the middle of a global center. Now think about that. Wherever you happen to be around the globe, in your place, your country, your town, your village, your province. But Ahasuerus was his title, and Xerxes was his name. And again, when you research him, you're going to find how powerful his reign was and how he left his mark on history. And you're going to learn how that he was one of the rulers of the second great world kingdom, you know, the Medi Persian Empire, you know. And think about it when you hear me say that. Today, known as Iran. You know, the same empire that Daniel wrote about, you know, 100 years earlier, you know, history. Now we're looking at it from a biblical standpoint. Remember, secular, biblical. Daniel wrote about it 100 years earlier before it even occurred. And you look at this powerful king, you know, maybe a leader that you are aware of that comes to your heart and mind over time. But this particular king was powerful. You know, there's some people that got wealth, there's some people that got titles, there's some people that got material things, there's some people that got this, that. What's their motive? Or how they obtained it? Or how they will obtain that which they are hungry for? King wanted to take over the world. And he had his eye on the Greco-Roman region that was thriving to the north. And when you look around today, again, are there any global leaders or people in business or local politicians desiring the same as this person who happened to have been a king, who happened to have been a powerful king, who happened to have been hungry and wanted to take over the world once they taste power that they never had before? Do you know anybody like that? Maybe that person in your home. Or maybe that person at your place of worship, sitting in the pews or behind the pulpit. Or maybe that person in your community or out there in that political world, education world, medical world, sociology world, criminology world, judicial world, you name the world system. But Xerxes, he was 3 years into his reign as king, and what he did, he set in motion a plan to, guess what, unite his soldiers. How did he do that? Now, I know you research his history, his sojourn, where he came from. Excuse me. Got to grab my water. Been using my voice. And if you've done your research and you see he threw a great banquet, not just a banquet, you know, but a great one. You know how you throw your parties. And then you know how you really throw your parties. But what he did was greater than any other banquet that had ever been. Think about it. You know, there had to be some type of banquet. Maybe you were invited, maybe you weren't. But what he did, he invited the rulers of the 127 provinces in his kingdom. Now think about his kingdom. And think about the individuals that he invited. They were the rulers of those provinces. What was his motive? Well, his motive was he invited for the purpose of selling them on this war, this conflict that he was going to have against Greece. And the question is, so how did he win their support? Think about it. Think about how you're trying to win somebody's support, depending on what your position is. But wait a minute. We're talking about a relationship. You're trying to win over another person, another culture, another whomever that comes to your heart and mind. But what, the way in which he did it by proving to them that he had money to do it. You got to remember now, he wanted to take over the world. He was hungry for it. But he needed others to be with him. He couldn't do it by himself. And that's the way you look at it as you look across the globe today. Individuals of titles, individuals of temporary power, irrespective of who comes to your heart and mind, they need individuals to support them and carry out what they wanted to do. Well, the more of the king's hospitality, guess what? The greater his claim to supremacy. So he had this party, and this party went on for 6 months. Think about that. You're talking about 180 days at this party. Have you ever been to one that long? Maybe you're in one today, and you're not even aware of it. Shouldn't you be aware of it? Well, these 127 leaders, rulers knew, because they were invited. You know any of you today? Where people are going to and the one having a party. Did you ever ask what the motive was for inviting you? Oh, you don't care what the motive was. You just want to be somebody. Oh, in society, right? Okay. Oh, you want to be somebody on your job. Oh, you want to be somebody in the political world. Oh, you want to be somebody in the educational world, the criminology world, the judicial world. Oh, you want to be somebody in the medical world or in the community or what? In your neighborhood, at your place of worship. Oh. Did you ask what the motive is? Well, the Greek historian Herod, was that the Greek historian? Now, you know, if you follow Challenges of Faith radio program for any length of time, do you know sometimes I'll throw out things to see if you've really done your research? And then you'll notify me, you'll contact me some way, let me know the end result. But this historian, Herodias, he referred to this meeting and said it took Xerxes 4 years, you know, from 484 to 481 BC to prepare for this Greek military conflict. Think about it. Remember now, he's hungry. He wanted to take over the globe. He needed support. Invited all these rulers of his provinces. That's a part of his kingdom. Held a party for 6 months. A laid out party so they can keep them enjoying themselves. And so while he was planning for victory, he showed off the luxury and the wealth of his kingdom. Think about it, how great it was. But it was about God type of party. You've been there, have you not? You know, I was reminded of a brethren that God blessed us to come together years later. And I had walked away from what society says is the top. And this brethren had just come back from abroad, and they were at a party in Chicago. And individuals that, you know, that people look up to and all this other stuff. But they were sharing with me a story that they went based upon their position. And they were having a good time. And they said that they were not in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. They met a person, a lady, a very beautiful lady. They said that she was the most gorgeous woman they had ever met in their life. And I listened to them. And they said while they were dancing, they said that they looked in the other person's eyes and there were no pupils. And said that the person said in a voice that sent shivers through them, they know why they were there, but why were he there? He said, as a result, he excused himself, said he went home, got on his knees, and got right with the Lord. Do you ever wonder who you're meeting when you're going out to all these places, wherever all these places happen to be? Doesn't have to be a party now. And as you read the Word of God, do you notice how it really lets you know that no matter what door you go in, the devil or his demons, they know who you are as a believer of the household of faith? You do know that. You are aware of that. Well, anyway, back to the party, without God type of party. You know how, you notice how God's word lets you and I know that here's a pagan, heathen court where decisions were made that affected the world, and it looks as if God is left out. Do you notice that? Do you notice that the decisions that are made in all of these rooms, whatever these rooms happen to be, and you're not there, nor I, that it affects you and I, our families, our loved ones, our lineages, all of that. And if you are there and you're not in the right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or you don't even know the God of the Scriptures, and you're there making a decision on behalf of for believers of the household of faith and everybody else, who may just go along, just to be alone. Think about it. As you look globally, is it happening in your country where God is left out from your local, state, federal decisions or on your job? But God wants you and I to know that he's overruling these circumstances, and he's going to accomplish his own purpose. But you already knew that, didn't you? I used to tell my staff, let me take a sip of my water, that no matter how doom and gloom it appears to be, and it is real, that warfare, spiritual warfare, never leave God out. It appears that God is nowhere around. It appears that that two-legged enemy inspired by the devil or demonic forces that the Word of God talks about. Remember Daniel when he prayed? Remember when his prayer was answered? You remember what the angels said? You remember what they shared about the spiritual battle that was going on unseen? around 486 B.C., the king held a smaller banquet, a smaller party. And this time it was for his VIPs. You've been there, haven't you? You're a very important person, aren't you? Oh, you haven't been invited. Oh, you'll do anything to be invited. Oh, you'll sell your soul just to be invited. You'll sell your soul for what? Oh, for the love of money. Oh, okay. For the love of a title. Okay. For the love of material things. Okay. For the love to be seen, to be heard. Oh, well, then you're at this party, aren't you? You know, the party where the king showed off his wealth. You know, the party where the king impressed everybody. He showed off the silver, the gold, and all of the jewelry. Now think about that party versus the six-month party. For 7 days, all the finest, nice food and wine flowed freely. Now, we're not talking about the type of wine that you can use from a medicinal standpoint. You know, we're talking about the type where, same wine, but you're talking about the type where it was drunk out of gold vessels. Each of those vessels were custom made, and everything was in abundance. And again, maybe you were there. Would you have been invited? Would you have been a VIP? Well, at the same time, guess what? Vashti, you know, the king's wife, she held a banquet as well, but she did it for the ladies. You know, you ladies who, you do it for the sister girl. You know, you do, don't you? You know, it's just for ladies. Well, think about it. The social custom of that day, it dictated that they celebrate separately, you know, the men and women, women and men. But then something happened. Something happened that changed everything. What do you think happened at that party? What do you think happened when everybody was having a good time? Weren't you having a good time at the party you've been going to? All that nice food. You know, you don't know which to take your fork to. So much food you never had before. Look at that different wine and drinks and all of that you never had before. You know, notice it's not talking about no cocaine, heroin, all of those new drugs that's out there, fentanyl. They're just talking about the wine. But something happened. It changed everything. Think about it. On the final day of the banquet, the king got drunk. And he did something that he would regret. Think about it. The king may have been used to drinking 20 glasses of wine, and nothing ever happened to him because his system was used to it. But then that day, he may have drank 21, and now all of a sudden he's drunk. But he did something that he regretted. What did he do? Well, he commanded. Notice, he ain't got to ask. He's the king, you know, maybe like you and your title. Your political title, or maybe that title on your job, or maybe that title at your place of worship, or maybe that title in your community. But he commanded his personal servants to bring him Queen Vashti wearing her royal crown. All he wanted to do was show off her extreme beauty to the guests and officials. Now, on the flip side, you know, men know men, women know women, but you know who knows us all? God. You know what God said? He said that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Now think about that. Today your chest all stuck out. Talking about, I'll never do this. The next moment you did it. Remember what Paul said? The Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, he said in Romans 7, the things I do, I don't want to do. And the things I don't want to do, I'm doing. It looked like it was hopeless, didn't it? It looked like it was helpless, didn't it? It looked like it was hurting, didn't it? But you notice when you get to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, he shares how he got the victory through the Holy Spirit of God. The king could have also had some negative connotations to his intentions with his wife. showing off his wife to his guests because of her outward appearance. How about you, men, women? Are you showing off your guy, your lady, to others? And you see an individual out there, you know, he says he knows Jesus Christ, and he may be. I don't know. Only he and God really know. But he got his wife out there, you know, allowing her to be her private and all of that to be seen of people who were looking. Does he really understand? Does she really understand? Maybe, I don't know. There's some people that may want that based upon whatever their true motives are. I don't know. But this king, without the intoxicant in his system, he probably would have never done it had he been sober. How about you? If you had been sober, would you have ever done it? If you had not had those drugs in your system, would you have done it? King, he displayed his glory and his riches. Now he wanted them to see the glory of Vashti, his jewel. We're not talking about jewel as it relates to merchandise. It should not be. Unless you men, you men are looking at each other from that perspective, which is wrong. But it may not be wrong to you. But this king who ruled the whole world, he couldn't bend his own wife to his will. Notice that. You got power. You think you got it going on. And maybe you did based upon where you are and the people that follow you. But do you know what she did? Good for her. She refused to come. Ben, he didn't count on that, do you? Because it's applicable to you too, as well as the ladies. That be your motive with your guy and girlfriends and guy. We don't know why she wouldn't, but we do know when you read the record in Esther, this is a scandal, and it's going to affect his kingdom. Her disobedience made him very angry. He just wasn't angry. He was very, you know how pride is, men, women, men. It embarrassed the king. Look at all those people. You know what they were saying. They ain't said out loud because, you know, they could have been killed. But here you got Xerxes, the king. You know he had to call an emergency cabinet meeting. You know he had to, what are you going to do in a moment like that? But again, when you do your research, secular, biblical, you'll notice there was no law that he could exercise. Why? His woman, the lady in his life, Vashti had the freedom to refuse, do you? Or are you walking around trying to act like you're a victim? Men, women, men. She had the freedom. So guess what? You know humans, or do you? They had to come up with a severe and penalizing law to make her an example to the other wives in the kingdom. Uh-oh. Everybody's going to be affected now. You notice how that happens in your home, your place of worship, in the community, on your job, in the political world, the educational world, the medical world, the criminology world, the judicial world, the sociology world, you name the world system. Everybody's going to be affected because of one person. Well, here you got the cabinet members. They were afraid that if something wasn't done, you think those men were going home to their home? You knew their ladies knew them, but wait a minute, they had customs. Now you got this extremeness that's got to take place. What was it? Well, not funny. Probably wasn't funny then. But what they did, they created a law of the Medes and Persians, you know, a law that couldn't be revoked. And that law said that because Vashti wouldn't obey her husband, that she was going to be permanently banned from the king's presence and her royal position would be given to another woman who would do as the king wanted. Because their hope was that when this ruling became public throughout their kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, that every lady, every woman, irrespective of her social position, would show proper respect to their husband. You know, men, not only do men know men and women know women, but guess what? Man, that lady in your life that's been in your life, she knows you. She don't really know you because only God really know you. Because this moment may be this, the next moment may be that. You know, that lady today got you all on a pedestal. You do something or say something. Next moment, you on the ground. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on now. Ladies, you know, that God is in your life. He knows you. After all these things hasn't happened, look at Esther chapter 2, verse 1. I know you wrote it down for later reading. Men. Now, you know I got to take a sip of my water. I don't have it going on now. Again, one day you're on a pedestal, the next day you're not. So here it looks like the king or you, but the king couldn't get the queen to do what he wanted. But he got all the rulers and the leaders, guess what, in the kingdom to join with him in the upcoming military conflict that he was going to have against Greece. Oh, did you thought we forgot about the reason for the parties in the first place? Now, you have to look at secular history, the rest of the story. There's going to be many stories that we're going to talk about. We were just talking about this story today. Because Esther's story, it doesn't record what happened next. But what we do know from secular history, Xerxes led a large army by land and by sea into Europe, and there he met the Greeks. Now, I'll leave it up to you to learn where he met them at. Can't do it all for you. But unfortunately, the Persians, which is now Iran, their strength was large. And so the individual soldiers were not as well trained as the Greeks. And you know Greek philosophy, especially those of y'all who have studied philosophy, you know you have. Well, it emphasized that the individual and as a result, one Greek soldier could take out 10 Persians. And in this battle, only a few soldiers could get past at the time. And as a result, the Greeks obtained a signal victory over the Persians. And the king Xerxes was at the battle at that location where he was doomed to lose. Do you notice when you get in the word, study the word, apply the word, meditate on the word, you didn't hear me say anything about yoga or transcendental? Do you notice that God had already said that the power was to pass from Persia to Greek? And if you want to know whether God intervened or not, listen. The king had 300 ships, and these ships had circled around to come from a rear attack in the Bay of Salamis, and the plan was to weigh anchor, and the next day they would land and attack from the rear, thinking that it was going to be a decisive win. But guess what happened? On the land, the historian Herodotus recorded that 6,400 Persian bodies were counted on the battlefield. The Athenians lost only 192 men, so the king, now very much defeated, he now has to return to his palace a broken man. You know, got it going on, don't he? Got it going on, don't you? And you in your position, temporary position of authority, of power, that you hungered for. We're out there in that corporate world, that position. We're out there in the ministry world. We're out there in the judicial world, criminology world, sociology world, medical world. Think about it. There was no more glory in battle, and gone was his wife at home, you know, Vashti. You know, because that law he wrote to punish her removed her permanently from his sight. You know, the law that couldn't be changed. Now you got it. Now look at him after his defeat and his loneliness. He's walking the hall of that palace. Look at that palace. Oh, you can't look at it because you don't have one like that, do you? You don't have a mansion like that, do you? You don't have a condo like that, do you? You don't have a home like that, do you? You don't have an apartment like that, do you? That can invite, think of all those people of those provinces, those rulers, and then the VIP for a six-month party and then the 7 day and all of that. He's walking those halls. But guess what? His servants knew something had to be done. You know, like your employees. What's their motive? And they had a plan. You said, Gary, what's the plan? Well, the next time, we'll see what was the king's plan. Better yet, since God is not mentioned, where is God? Where is God?